A charming coworker suddenly turns on you. You fall for another toxic partner despite swearing never again. Your brilliant business idea crashes exactly like the last one. These patterns aren't coincidences. They're windows into something deeper. Understanding human nature isn't just fascinating cocktail conversation. It's the difference between stumbling through life reactive and confused versus moving with clarity and purpose. When you grasp why people act as they do, including yourself, you gain something rare: the ability to navigate relationships, advance your career, and break destructive cycles that have held you captive for years. Think you're making logical decisions? Your emotions hijack your thinking constantly, operating below conscious awareness like a hidden puppeteer. We see what we want to see, believe what soothes our egos, and convince ourselves we're objective, even as bias clouds every judgment. The 2008 financial collapse illustrates this perfectly. Millions of investors succumbed to easy money's lure despite warnings, embracing confirmation bias that housing prices would rise forever. Ancient Athens showed identical patterns during the Peloponnesian War. After losing Pericles, irrational choices culminated in the catastrophic Syracuse expedition. We all harbor predictable biases, seeking confirming evidence, judging by appearance, gravitating toward like-minded groups, and blaming others for our mistakes. Most dangerously, we believe we're more rational than everyone else. Certain situations inflame these tendencies. Childhood triggers cause disproportionate reactions. Unexpected success releases addictive brain chemicals, leading to grandiosity. Under pressure, primitive brain regions overwhelm reasoning. In groups, collective feelings sweep through us like wildfire. The path forward requires brutal self-awareness. Examine your stress patterns. Analyze emotions to their roots before acting. Increase reaction time by physically removing yourself from pressure situations. Most importantly, learn to love rationality itself, the clarity, calmness, and freedom it brings. From birth, we crave attention like oxygen, essential for social bonding, yet scarce, creating fierce competition. We all exist on the narcissistic spectrum. Deep narcissists suffer developmental breaks between ages 2 and 5 when neglectful or enmeshed parents prevented them from constructing a stable self. Without foundations for self-esteem, they become completely dependent on external validation. They reveal themselves through distinctive patterns, explosive rage when challenged, positioning as victims, appearing distant in conversations not centered on them, displaying extreme confidence masking emptiness, and experiencing vicious envy. Most tellingly, they view others as self-objects, extensions of themselves to control for validation. The most dangerous variant is the narcissistic leader, who channels energy into work, attracting followers with apparent confidence. They manufacture constant drama to justify power and remain center stage, making workplaces unstable and exhausting. Most people function as moderate narcissists, possessing coherent selves but still requiring external validation. Your task is threefold: understand deep narcissists to avoid their harm, acknowledge your own narcissistic tendencies, and strive toward healthy narcissism, where you need less validation and direct attention toward meaningful work and empathic connections. The antidote is developing empathy. Give full attention with genuine curiosity. Develop visceral empathy through body language and tone, detecting intentions beyond words. Cultivate analytic empathy by learning people's backgrounds and values. Ernest Shackleton exemplified this when the Endurance became trapped in Antarctic ice. Recognizing morale as his greatest challenge, he projected confidence through humor, monitored each man's emotional state through personalized conversations, and organized sporting events during the sunless winter. His empathic leadership was so extraordinary that crew members facing hopeless situations would ask themselves, "What would Shackleton do?" People wear masks, presenting polished versions of themselves while hiding insecurities. Mistake these appearances for reality and you'll be blindsided. Fortunately, people unconsciously reveal themselves through nonverbal cues they cannot fully control. Milton Erickson discovered this second language when paralyzed by polio as a teenager. Unable to participate in conversations, he observed hand gestures, vocal pitches, and breathing patterns, noticing pulsating neck veins signaling nervousness, hair stroking indicating impatience. This revolutionized his psychiatry approach, focusing on patients' physical presence as windows into their unconscious. We begin life as exceptional observers, noticing subtle expressions and inauthentic behaviors. Children see through deception because survival depends on accurately reading adults. Around age 5, we lose this sensitivity as we become self-absorbed. Develop observational skills by noticing contradictory facial expressions and microexpressions during conversations. Once comfortable reading faces, graduate to vocal patterns and body language. The voice reveals hidden emotions. Increased pitch shows excitement. Warm tones indicate comfort. Synchronized conversation pace suggests rapport. Deception often hides behind exaggerated animation, excessive smiling, friendliness, and righteous vehemence. Watch for tension in body parts not being actively controlled, as deceivers cannot manage all muscles simultaneously. Masters of impression management control nonverbal cues, adapt to audiences, and use dramatic effects through selective presence. Like method actors, they summon appropriate emotions while maintaining self-control, understanding that appearance often matters as much as substance. When selecting associates, look beyond surface images to discern true character through repeated patterns. Notice the entrepreneur who repeatedly trusts wrong partners, the manager consistently hiring unreliable employees, or the individual finding themselves in similar toxic relationships. Character has three essential layers. First, genetic foundation predisposes us towards certain moods, naturally anxious, outgoing, or analytical. Second, early childhood attachments create emotional patterns, influencing relationships and stress responses. Third, youth-formed habits become ingrained responses. A fourth layer develops with maturity, compensatory behaviors masking flaws, like using humor to deflect criticism. The most revealing indicator is the pattern of actions over time. Watch how people handle money, respond to criticism, treat subordinates, and behave during crises. Notice significant behaviors, disappearing under stress, not completing important work, becoming belligerent when challenged, and research their past for similar patterns. Certain toxic types recur. The hyper-perfectionist can't delegate. The relentless rebel undermines collaboration. The personalizer takes everything personally. The drama magnet turns minor disagreements into conflicts. The big talker never follows through. True power requires thorough self-examination. Joan Crawford exemplifies this. Despite childhood trauma, she examined her hypersensitivity with ruthless objectivity, then channeled these qualities into acting. Her self-awareness transformed potential weaknesses into professional assets. Absence and presence shape human desire profoundly. Too much presence suffocates. Strategic absence ignites interest. We perpetually crave what remains just beyond reach, whether in marketing, relationships, or any domain where mystery heightens attraction. Coco Chanel embodied this principle. Orphaned at 11, she consumed romance novels featuring Cinderella transformations. After failing at acting, she revolutionized fashion by adapting men's clothing into androgynous styles that liberated women. Her distinctive designs tapped women's repressed desires for freedom. By 1920, strategic promotion made her fashion's greatest trendsetter. Her Chanel No. 5 perfume, marketed through mystery and deliberate scarcity, became history's most successful fragrance. Three strategies create desire. First, know when to withdraw. Maintain coolness, create ambiguity, use absence strategically. Michael Jackson mastered this through carefully spaced releases. Second, create rivalries. Exploit our tendency to want what others want. Third, use induction. Associate with something transgressive that appeals to repressed desires, as Madonna did, combining religious imagery with sexuality. Recognize the grass is always greener syndrome within yourself. While restlessness can motivate improvement, chronic discontent wastes energy through impulsive changes. Life's brevity demands engaging deeply with immediate reality, connecting meaningfully with people, understanding your environment, finding endless improvement possibilities in your work. Unlike animals guided by instinct, we rely on conscious decisions that often leave us directionless. The solution is discovering your calling, a purpose that guides decisions and deepens self-knowledge. Thrust from school into the work world, we make life-altering decisions with little experience. We typically respond by either embracing chaos through experimentation while postponing commitments, or seeking immediate stability through practical careers. Both eventually fail, the first resulting in undeveloped skills, the second in midlife dissatisfaction. Without purpose, pain increases, chronic boredom requiring stronger distractions, insecurity from unfulfilled potential, anxiety from avoiding challenges, depression from disconnection. Purpose transforms everything. Boredom becomes tolerable because you see larger meaning. Insecurity diminishes as you focus on work quality. Anxiety becomes a productive force. Depression recedes as you connect beyond yourself. To discover your calling, look for primal inclinations from earliest years, moments of spontaneous fascination occurring without external prompting. Marie Curie was mesmerized by chemistry equipment at 4, Steve Jobs by electronics, Tiger Woods by golf. Flannery O'Connor exemplifies living with mortality as companion. Diagnosed with lupus, she refused self-pity, using mortality as creative fuel. Her proximity to death created urgency, deepened faith, and sparked wonder. Confronting mortality directly built resilience and deepened empathy, eventually helping her overcome racist sentiments and embrace civil rights. Most people avoid death's reality, then collapse when crisis strikes. By making death familiar, we gain clarity about life's brevity, deepen commitment to work and relationships, and build resilience. This awareness acts as continual deadline, focusing minds and energizing actions. Let it whisper urgency into daily choices, remind you that loved ones won't be here forever, and strip away the trivial.